The views and opinions expressed in the following paid program do not necessarily represent those of staff, management, or advertisers with WBIG Radio.
Your radio dial is locked. On the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Go from loafing around in the garden to being a master of your yard splendor.
Hey, Mr. Gopher.
In the next half hour, you'll get the confidence you need to tackle those weekend projects with ease. You'll get information about proper methodology and the best materials available at a price you can afford. The Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show is brought to you in part by 844-DIRT. 844-DIRT, improved earth products. And now it's time for another show straight from the Gopher's Den.
Welcome to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, the show that gives you what it takes to tackle your lawn projects with ease. You're here with Zach and Mike, and today on the Gopher's Den, we're going to talk about mulch and some of the benefits of mulching your plants' beds. After that, we're on to our second segment, Secrets from the Experts, where you get advice from professionals on way to improve your lawn or garden. As always, we'll wrap things up by answering your questions sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com and give you the Gopher Tip of the Week. So, Mike, are you ready to talk about mulch?
Zach, I can't wait to talk about mulch.
Alright, well, if you're looking for a way to save lots of time and money in your garden, look no further. Mulching your flower and vegetable beds will drastically reduce the amount of time spent weeding, watering, and fighting pests. Let me tell you some more things mulch can do.
You know, Zach, I can't wait to hear about more things that mulch can do, because if I can save time and money and not have to pull weeds, that's gold.
Exactly. Everybody should be doing this. Let me tell you what else mulch does. Mulch helps to prevent soil erosion. Soil erosion happens when winds or water wear away at the surface of the soil and remove it. Mulching your soil will prevent this by forming a protective, replaceable layer that comes between the surface of the soil and the forces of nature above it. This is especially useful when mulch is applied to a sloped area. It really helps to prevent the water runoff and help retain your soil in that area.
Yeah, for sure.
Mulch also insulates soil in the winter. The harsh temperatures of winter can be unkind. Mulching the soil in the fall will help to insulate the soil, preventing it from repeated patterns of freezing and thawing. It'll also insulate the plant's roots, helping them to get a good start in the spring.
Yeah, so one great advantage about mulch, Zach, is this is something that is beneficial all season long. Okay, spring, summer, winter, fall, mulch is always at work.
Exactly. In the summer, it actually helps to keep the soil cool because it prevents the extreme heat from getting down to the soil. It also helps to improve your water retention, and it gives your dogs a nice, cool place to lay while you're working and slaving out in the yard.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, if I don't have to pull weeds, that's an advantage.
Exactly. That's one of the most useful benefits about mulching, is the weed prevention. While the mulch itself doesn't stop the weeds from germinating, it serves as a barrier between the weeds growing in the soil and the outside world above. When a weed reaches the mulch layer, it's not able to break through it, and it dies back. Now, some mulches perform this weed prevention better than others, and the depth of the mulch is also a contributing factor. Make sure to use at least 4 inches thick of mulch.
Yeah, definitely, Zach. Yeah, don't skimp on the mulch. That 4-inch layer, be generous. You know, you always want to make sure you have enough of that.
Exactly, a good, healthy, thick layer.
Yeah, because remember, I hate weeds.
And let me tell you the most important thing mulch does for your lawn. It improves its appearance. A mulch applied to your beds can make it look more complete and more attractive. Now, this varies from mulch to mulch, as some are more attractive and natural looking than others, and that's because they all come from different sources.
That's right, Zach. They certainly do come from different places. And we want to talk about that a little bit, because, you know, some people consider mulch shipping crates and ground up pallets. Recycled pallets, when they grind that stuff up and throw a little bit of dye on it, they consider that mulch.
Exactly. I've seen a lot of red-colored mulches that look just like that.
Yeah, and that's what they do. It's a waste product that they try to kind of grind up and have a useful for it, and they call that mulch. Well, we don't call that mulch. We don't like that. I mean, the last thing you want is, you know, mulches made from shipping crates and pallets. You don't know where that stuff's been.
Exactly. It can be contaminated with anything. You know, you got toxic waste, sludge, you got oil, anything. And you don't want that stuff next to your vegetables or any of your plants.
Right. Not to scare you, but, you know, back a few years ago when we had that Asian beetle scare in Chicago, that actually came from a shipping crate that came from overseas, and that beetle got out of there after they had opened up that crate and infested those trees. So that's one thing we want to stay away from. The other thing is sometimes they use this recycled pallets to use as a filler for natural wood products. And we definitely want to stay away from that. Here at 844 Dirt, we make sure that that does not happen. We always want to look for 100% natural wood products. And the other thing, there's another thing that also you also have to consider, even when it's natural, is you need to know where the source is. We all know what happened in the New Orleans and Louisiana area.
Oh, yeah, with
area.
Hurricane Katrina, definitely.
Yeah, after that hurricane, it was a disaster. There was everything. All these trees were down. All this lumber, all this material was down there. And that stuff was soaking in whatever was there. And I don't want to be too graphic, but whatever that stuff was floating in, that would absorb that up. We made sure that that stuff never entered into our supply chain.
Exactly.
So, Zach, you know, what kind of mulch should we get?
Well, that's a real big decision because mulches come from all different places. Like you said, you want to get a mulch that is 100% forest products and all natural forest products. You don't want any of these added fillers or anything like that. You want a nice quality hardwood like our Alabama mulch, which is strictly a bark mulch. Am I correct?
Yeah, that is correct. That is a southern bark mulch, and the way they peel that off is they peel or grind the bark right off the log from the logging industry, and that's the material that we use for that fine Alabama southern bark mulch.
Mm-hmm. It gets a real nice dark color and a deep rich color.
That southern bark is darker and it just smells so good. It has a potpourri like smell.
And the mulch from Wisconsin, we call it the Northwoods mulch?
Yeah, Northwoods is actually our most popular mulch, Zach, and we get that from the forest of Wisconsin through the logging industry there. There we get the mulch that is used from the trees, where they slice the log in four sections, and we get that four outer sections, which is a lot of bark in there. And then they slice that log again through the center, and we get the center shank. Those are the only pieces that we use to make our Northwoods mulch. That's why it's so good.
Definitely. The one thing we got to stress is make sure that you use only mulches that are made from 100% natural organic forest products, like all the mulches that 844 Dirt offers. Check out our website for more information on our mulches, as well as some high-resolution pictures and some application tips. We're actually coming up to a break right now, but stay tuned for our next segment, Secrets from the Experts, where we give you some great tips on how to apply that mulch that you just got.
Great.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit DG Ace Hardware, the helpful place, in St. Charles on Main Street and in Aurora on New York Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware for.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area, housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region. 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
You're tuned into the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show. Make way in your noggin. Much more info is on its way.
You're back with Zach and Mike at the Gopher's Den Lawn and Landscape Show. If you're just tuning in and you missed our first segment on mulch, never fear. All our episodes are available on our website. Check that out at 844dirt.com. Well, Mike, after such a good discussion on mulch earlier, I think that during Secrets from the Experts, we should give them some tips on how to make that pile of mulch they got disappear.
Absolutely. We definitely want to talk and teach our listeners how to properly apply their mulch.
Mm-hmm. But before we can do that, they need to know how much mulch they need.
Absolutely.
A great place to do that is to check out our website at 844dirt.com and use our handy material calculator. That'll give you the exact amount you need to figure out your lawn. So go ahead and do that. We'll wait. All right. If you came up with about a yard or so, you may be a good candidate for bags. Larger mulch bags contain about 2 cubic feet per bag, which works out to about 13.5 bags per yard. Now, from a personal experience, I know that you can only fit 27 bags of mulch in an 87 Chevy Blazer, if you bring your dog along. Without the dog, I probably could have gotten about 5 more. Just make sure to give yourself some time for multiple trips.
Zach, you're a madman. How in the world did you get 27 bags of mulch in an 87 Blazer?
You know, Mike, I think it was just from my years of playing Tetris as a kid. I can stack things just amazingly. it's uncanny.
Yeah, the funny part, Zach, is I wonder how many laws you broke in the process of doing that.
I prefer not to count about these things.
Oh, God.
But if you do need more than bags, give us a call at 844-DIRT. That's what we're here for. 844-DIRT can deliver all of our products directly to you, eliminating broken leaf springs and scraped mufflers.
Absolutely.
So now you have this mulch in a nice little pile on your driveway. You might think, wow, that is a lot of mulch. What am I going to do with all this? But you know what? When you spread it out at 4 inches thick, it really goes quick. And you know what? The way to get the best jump on that is invest in the right tools.
Yeah, definitely, Zach. We definitely want to talk about the tools that are going to be needed to do this project. Tools are absolutely crucial. And so let's learn more about the tools we're going to need.
All right. Probably the most important tool you're going to need when doing mulch is a pitchfork. It's perfect for scooping up the mulch, but then again, it helps with spreading it out when you get to your beds.
Yeah, and it doesn't necessarily have to be that real sharp, long-tined one. They make other forks that are smaller and a little bit thicker. They're very durable. Excellent tool.
Exactly. The pitchfork is a multi-purpose garden tool. You can't go wrong when you get a pitchfork. Another tool that you're going to need is a wheelbarrow. Now, a wheelbarrow is a back saver when you buy bags, but it's an absolute necessity when you're moving around a large pile of mulch. It's also important to have a broom and a scoop shovel to clean up that last little bit of mulch on your driveway. If you don't have one or any of these tools, check out our website at 844dirt.com for resource partners that can help you get the quality tools for all your gardening needs. Now that you're properly armed, it's time to start spreading that mulch. Fill up your wheelbarrow to a comfortable level. The code among landscapers is, if you spill a wheelbarrow, you buy a lunch for everyone.
That's pretty funny, Zach. How many times have you bought lunch for the crew?
I'll tell you what, I've been landscaping for over 10 years, and I've had to buy lunch probably in the 30s or 40 times.
Yeah, absolutely. What's funny is every time I was using wheelbarrows, large wheelbarrows, I always figured if I put more stuff on there, I'd have to make less trips, especially with rocks and dirt and soil and stuff. I would have that thing so loaded up, and I'm grabbing it and trying to go down. All of a sudden, that thing just falls right over.
Exactly. It takes you twice as long to pick it out of the grass as it does to get another wheelbarrow. So just take your time. I mean, you got to enjoy these things. Just relax. Take your time. Do it nice and slow.
Yeah, because there's nothing worse than a bunch of guys pointing at you and saying, lunch, lunch, lunch.
No, there isn't. All right. After you fill up your wheelbarrow, steer it to your desired area and spill out a little mulch. If you're working on a bed, start in the center of the bed and work your way out. If you're doing around your house, start near the house and in the corners and work your way around. This is important because you don't want to be running over that mulch and compacting it down after you just put it down. You want it to stay nice and light and fluffy. Mm-hmm. All right, dump small piles and then spread the mulch so it's about 4 inches thick. Make sure to keep it about 2 or 3 inches away from the stems of woody plants to prevent the bark from getting too moist.
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. Definitely the placement when you start placing mulch is really crucial. You know, you don't want to just take that wheelbarrow and dump the whole thing out in one spot. It just makes the work twice as much. You want to just, as you're loading this up, you dump it in small little manageable piles in the areas that you need it. That just saves tons and tons of effort.
Exactly, and at least you know where you're putting it. You know, you don't put too much in because when you put it down, it gets harder and harder to pick it up. You know, you only want to do the job one time.
Right, yeah, because it's one thing to scoop the material up off your lawn, put it in a wheelbarrow, take it to the desired location, dump everything out. You've got too much. Now you got to reload it and move it again.
Exactly.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly. And when you do around trees, people, please, please do me a favor and don't make a mulch volcano.
No mulch volcanoes.
No mulch volcanoes. Mounding up the mulch on the trunk of the tree can cause disease and attract insects to the bark of the tree. And remember, the bark is what actually provides all the sustenance and nutrition for the tree, so you don't want to injure that. Instead, leave yourself a little 2 or 3 inch gap between the mulch and the tree. Flatten out the surrounding area until you reach the edge of your tree ring, usually called the drip line. When you get to that edge, leave a little ridge all the way around it. This kind of forms a moat to hold the water in when it rains or when you water, and thereby giving it directly to the tree.
Yeah, absolutely, Zach. These are great tips. Now I want to talk a little bit more about the tools. I just want to back up just a little bit. We had talked a little bit about the pitchfork as far as using that to load and to spread the material around. But you know what? That pitchfork is absolutely crucial for mulch maintenance down the road.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
Yeah, the mulch, all mulches just start to compact in and you want to keep them turned. But what happens is a lot of times you get some in the fall, the leaves that kind of fall in with it. You'll get situations where you just have to turn this stuff over, grass clippings in it. You take that pitchfork, slide it right in between
the soil
level and the mulch and turn it over and bust it up, and it just looks really nice.
Exactly. It brings it back to the original color when you put it down. That's some great advice, Mike.
Great.
But unfortunately, we're coming up to a break right now. But stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to answer the questions you sent to us at thegophersden@844dirt.com. So hang in there for more of the Gopher's Den.
Trying to get your lawn and garden looking better? Ace Hardware has absolutely everything you need to get your job done right. Whether you're tackling a big project or a little one, we've got everything from fertilizers to sprinklers, garden tools, and more. And most importantly, helpful people that understand it all. We'll help you get it done right. Ace, the helpful place.
Visit Ace, the helpful place, in Batavia on Wilson Street and Geneva on Main Street.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
You're listening to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show, brought to you by 844 Dirt. If you have any questions or tips, or would like to be a guest expert on the show, send us an email at thegophersden@844dirt.com. That's thegophersden@844dirt.com. If we use your question on the air, we'll send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of the Gopher's Den. Well, let's get back to the den with the lovable little rodent himself.
844 Dirt is one of the largest residential mulch suppliers in the Fox Valley area, housing everything from Northwoods Mulch of Wisconsin to Alabama Bark Mulch from the Smoky Mountain region. 844 Dirt is the exclusive provider of the finest mulches found throughout the United States. 844 Dirt also carries the finest organic weed-free screened mushroom compost available. Our courteous, uniformed drivers deliver all these products right to your home. To see a full selection of the products we carry and to utilize our handy materials calculator, head to our website at 844dirt.com.
Curb appeal is everything, and without the proper know-how, your home won't have any. Stay with us for more great ideas and unique tips on the Gopher's Den Lawn and Gardening Show.
Welcome back to the Gopher's Den Landscape and Garden Show. You're in the den with Zach and Mike, and if you're just now tuning in, you missed a great show. Not only did we cover the benefits of mulching, but we also took some tips on how to apply that mulch to your yard to make it look that much better. Again, if you missed any of our shows, they're downloadable at 844dirt.com. But right now, let's get to those questions that you sent us at thegophersden@844dirt.com. Remember, if you hear your question on the air, we send you a free Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of 844dirt.com. So let's start giving out some free stuff.
All right, can't wait, Zach.
Well, the first question today comes from Keith K. in Yorkville. Keith asks, I own several dogs. What can I do about all the brown spots in my yard? Well, Mike, I think this one's up your alley. I think you should take this question.
So, okay, I get the poo question, Zach?
The dirt guy gets the poo question.
Unbelievable. You know that? I'm going to get you back for this one. Well, I'm a dog lover and owner myself, so I understand this. But you know what? This happens a lot. It's called lawn burn or fertilizer burn. Anytime that you dump some type of chemical, even fertilizer, in a concentrated area, it burns out the lawn. You get this really big brown patch.
Looks similar to drought stress, that nice brown dead grass.
Absolutely, but just in a concentrated area where that material had fallen. Now, the other thing, if you've ever noticed this, if you've washed your car at home, you get that soapy water, and you're washing your car, and you're rinsing it off, and all of a sudden you got to dump the soapy water out. You throw it right in the grass. Well, the next day, what do you got? Big brown spot.
Exactly.
Turf burn. Well, this is no different, for the most case, with dogs. I mean, dogs obviously urinate, and these spots burn out just the same way. So really the best way to do that, the best way to try to help this situation is water it. Just dilute the chemicals down, whatever it is, whether it's the fertilizer or it's the wash water or it is the dog urine. You just simply water it down to dilute those chemicals. But you know what? Pee stains aren't the only thing that dogs leave behind. They leave us some other packages, too.
Exactly.
So, you know what? The quicker that you can get that stuff off the ground and get rid of it, the better. You know, I mean, in the same thing, just really dilute it. But you know what? I just want to kind of give a warning here, too. You know, nobody likes a poo prankster. So make sure you dispose of that stuff where it belongs, in the garbage can. Not in your neighbor's yard, not somewhere else. Don't use your imagination. Nobody likes that. But you know what? Let's get back to the point. You know what? It's not, I'm not going to get too crazy about this where I'm out in the yard following my dog with a pooper scooper and a hose. You know what? I'm going to take my time. I'm going to get it when I can. Because you know what? A couple brown spots in my lawn is a small price to pay for man's best friend, Zach.
Well said, Mike. Well said. All right, Keith, I'm going to send you a Gopher's Den t-shirt, courtesy of 844dirt.com. And I'm going to give you a couple gopher biscuits for your four-legged friends.
I'll need a few of those too, Zach.
I don't know where I'm going to get those, Mike, but all right. Let's get to our next question from Tim, Kay, and Aurora. Tim asks, hey, Zach, what can I do about grubs in my lawn? You know, Tim, that's a great question, and I want you to know that I picked your question because you sent it to me four times in a row.
Zach, persistency pays.
Hey, single click only on the send button from now on, okay, buddy? Now, to battle grubs, you need to understand the beetle's life cycle. And no, not George, John, Paul, and Ringo. We're talking about Japanese beetles and June bugs. And if you've ever ridden a motorcycle, you know how bad a June bug can hurt at 55 miles an hour.
Wait a minute, Zach. I have ridden a motorcycle,
I have
been smashed in the face with a June bug and a cicada.
Let me tell you something.
It hurts.
It feels like somebody hit you in the neck with a slingshot, like a rock or a ball bearing.
Yeah.
A slingshot.
Oh, God. It is painful.
Now, it's important to say that it's not the beetle that's hurting your lawn, but it's the beetle's larva. See, the beetle's larva are these fat, C-shaped white grubs that feed on your grass's roots and cause symptoms similar to drought stress. The beetles usually begin their mating flights in June and burrow their eggs in early July. This is the crucial time to apply an insecticide, is this 2 to 3 week period immediately after the adults have disappeared. If the grubs aren't treated promptly, they'll feed voraciously through the fall, descend into the soil over winter, and awaken in the spring to devour even more roots. To be effective, treat grubs when the grubs are young with an insecticide that specifically targets grubs. If you see damaged and dead grass, then it's too late. You're going to have to wait till next year.
Yeah, so, you know, the other thing we talked about one of the other shows too, Zach, is grubs is really kind of a real problem in the sense that not only do they destroy your lawn, predators go after these things for food sources. So that really, that's another problem too, right?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
That's why it's really important to nip that right away.
Well, thanks for that question, Tim. Unfortunately, I can only send you one Gopher's Den t-shirt. But don't stop sending those questions, because no matter how many you send, I'm under contract to read them all. So send those emails to thegophersden@844dirt.com. All right, well, we got a couple more longer questions here, but we're not going to have time to answer those. You got anything you'd like to ask, Mike?
Yeah, you know what? I got a really good question, Zach. How come, like in the early spring or after lots of rain, when I go outside, it always smells like worms?
You know, I get that. I actually hear that a lot. And the answer is pretty simple. After a good rain like that, all that rain hits the ground and causes bacteria to become airborne. Bacteria, spores, mold, everything. It's a combination of that floats up into the air.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're smelling. Worms just smell like that because they spend all their time in the ground.
Oh, so it's not worms, it's that bacteria, though.
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing.
All right, now perk up your ears and hold your chatter, because it's time for the gopher to give his tip of the week. Now, I don't know where he gets these things from, Mike, but that's awesome.
That guy's amazing. I mean, he's got to be a hybrid.
He's definitely unique. Well, what he said was, birds, squirrels, raccoons, possums, moles, and yes, even gophers are frequent, bothersome pests for homeowners. The small critters rarely do any serious damage, but the big ones can wreak havoc on your lawn. They're all probably just looking around for food, you know? Animals get hungry, too. And grubs are a favored meal for moles and birds. Raccoons and possums will gladly eat them too. And gophers, well, they eat just about anything they can reach. The best, most humane method for dealing with these troublesome critters is to remove the food source, or at least make it less accessible. If there's nothing to eat in your yard, then they're more than likely to go to your neighbors. Great advice from the rodent himself. This is Zach and Mike. See you next week on The Gopher's Den.